Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to another day, Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and is, of course, always streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN. Is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. You know, I don't like to be like other people here at times at the network, even though I had great colleagues and still do have really good colleagues. But there was someone once at the network that accused me of tinkering with the chairs in the studio, and it wasn't me. And I once said I would never lead a radio show and it would be a disservice to the audience talking about chairs. Well, I may have lied to you guys, because the only other person that sits in this chair Monday through Friday is Andrew Perloff, unless if somebody else fills in. Because Perloff and I, we sit in the same chair. Bill Ryder is in L.A. You then have Rich Eisen on the West Coast in L.A., you have your boy Zach Gelb here in New York City. Then you have JR in Atlanta. You got Bart in Milwaukee. And, you know, even if you have a fill-in on the overnight, Perloff then still sits in this chair before I do at 3 p.m. Eastern time. You would think two tall guys would be on the same page, right? Perloff, tall guy. Your boy, a tall guy. I like the chair to be all the way up and these new chairs because it's better back support. And I didn't realize it when I sat down until the red light went on, but this chair is at the lowest it could be today. And it's very uncomfortable on my back right now. So I'm going to power through the next 15 minutes. This is going to be my flu game today for about 15 minutes in this segment, because Alex Azarim is here and he's doing a great job filling in for Stuart Kovac. Samter is here as well. But I don't want to raise the chair live on the air and then Azarim filling in, doing a nice job. He has to then go scramble and hate my guts because then he would have to adjust the camera. So like, Perloff, can you put the chair a little bit higher? Or, you know, maybe I should just take my own advice from a few months ago and I could get in the studio a little bit earlier.
I just lowered my chair to support you.
Oh, thanks. You're a jackass. All right. Wonderful. In support. Oh, you lowered in support. I thought you were just being a jerk there.
Yeah, no, in solidarity.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. So Azarim lowered his chair. Mike, your chair's all the way up. Why aren't you joining us? Lower the chair.
I get taller when I sit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, right now, I can barely even see you, Mike, because this camera is blocking your entire body right now. So, you know, we're a mess right out of the gate. Now I can see you if Mike's doing the double wave. Anyway, we got a whole lot to do today. We'll do a prospect profile. We'll highlight the Georgia players in the draft with former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray. I'm going to start the show with the NFL draft. Don't worry. We'll do a ton of NCAA tournament talk just like we did yesterday. I'm back in on the Cleveland Browns. And when I say I'm back in on the Cleveland Browns, it's the discussion on what they should do with the number two overall pick. This has been the most frustrating discussion I've had for the last 3 weeks. Adam Schefter threw me into just like a mental brain problem into a tizzy when it all started out with him saying right before the combine, hey, the thing he's most confident in is that there's going to be a quarterback taken by Cleveland with their first round pick. That's what he said. Then last week, he walked it back. So I still don't have a damn clue what the Cleveland Browns are going to do with the second overall pick. But the thing I don't get, and right, I could be a little hypocritical here. At the end of the college football season, I remember, ironically, we actually had Sean Marash on. And Marash was on, and I was asking him, like, who do you want the Giants to get in the draft? And we didn't know exactly where the Giants were going to be picking yet. I think it was with a week or two left in the season, to be exact. And he goes, I'm more of a Cam Ward guy than Shedeur Sanders. But he said, I would just want either or. Like, his preference is Cam Ward slightly. If they get Shedeur Sanders, he wouldn't be upset. And I said, you know what? It's actually funny. I'm more of a Shedeur Sanders guy than a Cam Ward guy, but by a razor-thin margin. I have since shifted that opinion, but it's still by a razor-thin margin where now I prefer Cam Ward slightly. By the tiniest of margins compared to Shedeur Sanders. But it feels like nationally, in the national landscape, anyone that covers the NFL draft, it is Cam Ward over Shedeur Sanders and then some. Which I can't get and I can't gather why it's such a disparity and such a big discrepancy and difference now between Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. And I still don't think the conversations are going to reflect the true meaning on where these guys get drafted. I think Cam Ward, one way or another, is going to be the first overall pick. If you put a gun to my head today, I'm saying Tennessee keeps the pick. Tennessee takes Cam Ward. Then with the second overall pick, even if Cleveland elects to pass on Shedeur Sanders, I think the latest he's going to go is the third overall pick. But people saying he's going to fall out of the top 10, I think is ridiculous. I think the absolute latest he's going to go is 6, but I really do believe he's going to go 3 at this point because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to the Giants and Russell Wilson is not going to prevent you from taking a quarterback with the 3rd pick. But, you know, I could be wrong. So let's say if I am wrong and Cleveland and the Giants say we're not taking Shedeur, the absolute latest I think would be the Raiders with the 6th overall pick. But this idea that Jackson Dart is going to go before Shedeur Sanders is maybe some of the dumbest draft analysis I've ever heard. If Jackson Dart goes in the top 10 of the draft, I'd be stunned. They should not use a top 15 pick on Jackson Dart. Quite frankly, with what I saw in college when I watched the games, I didn't think Jackson Dart was a first-round quarterback. And I've said this before. Later on in the draft, if you want to swoop in or you use a later round pick, like if you're a Pittsburgh, I said Seattle, but now Seattle's probably out of it with Sam Darnold. But those are the two teams that I mentioned before the Sam Darnold signing did go down, that if you're like Seattle, if you're Pittsburgh and you get out of the top 15, all right, then you could register and then you could use a first round pick on Jackson Dart, even though I wouldn't love it, but I could at least understand it. But I go through this draft order right now, and I don't see what others are projecting that Jackson Dart's going to go this early. I don't get it whatsoever. And if he goes before Shedeur Sanders, I will be irate because it makes no damn sense to me. Like, in the Jackson Dart meter, let's start, because he's not going the first 3 picks, Tennessee, Cleveland, or the Giants. Teams that need quarterbacks. I don't see the Raiders taking Jackson Dart at 6. I don't see the Jets taking Jackson Dart at 7. I don't see the Saints taking Jackson Dart at 9. You know, you keep on going, like Pittsburgh at 21, potentially. Outside of that, who's the team that's taking Jackson Dart in the first round? And I think this is what we do when we sit here in the draft and we go, 3, 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks got to go. They all got to go. Quarterbacks, go. And last year at this time, to be fair, I didn't think Michael Penix Jr. would have been picked 8th. I thought J.J. McCarthy was going to go to the Vikings, so that one didn't surprise me. And I didn't have Bo Nix going 12. I thought there'd be 5 or 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. I didn't think 6 would go in the top 12. So could teams get trigger happy? Could teams maybe pull the trigger earlier than where they should on Jackson Dart? I guess, as KG would say, anything's possible. But in terms of this case, I think last year was an outlier. 6 quarterbacks in the first round. I know we've seen other years where 5 go in the first round. But I also remember years when I was told Will Levis was going to be a top 5 pick. He fell out of the first round. I also remember a year where Malik Willis, right, and Kenny Pickett, they were going to be first round picks. Kenny Pickett was. Malik Willis ended up going in the 3rd round. and there was a quarterback taken before him. He wasn't even the second quarterback off the board. Desmond Ridder was the second quarterback of that draft class. So I still sit here and I say, I feel confident in saying that Cam Ward, when we look at the quarterbacks, is going to be the number one overall pick. Then Shedeur Sanders, I think, will either go to Cleveland or the Giants. Then if there is going to be a third guy in the first round, it's going to be Jackson Dart. But if I was a team, like I said, the only team that I'm like, okay, I can at least see it is Pittsburgh. But if Pittsburgh signs Aaron Rodgers, could they still take a quarterback? Yes. But wouldn't you rather use that 21st pick somewhere else to go all in for the year or two that you have left of Aaron Rodgers' career? So that's where I'm at with the NFL draft. Personally, I would not use a first-round pick on Jackson Dart and feel comfortable with it. I could feel good about using it with Cam Ward. I could feel good about using it with Shedeur Sanders. But I look at Cleveland because a lot of people feel Cam Ward 1, and then at 2, it won't be a quarterback, and it will either be Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And I know, hand up, I've changed my opinion on this about 3,000 times. And I'll probably change it 3,000 times more before the draft coming up on April 24th because you hear different things and I say I shouldn't believe anything that I hear leading up to the draft, but then I vacillate on it. So here was Myles Garrett talking to my best friend in the podcasting world, Andrew Siciliano, on the Best Podcast Available. That's the name of his podcast. Best Podcast Available with Andrew Siciliano. If you got to name it that, here's a little breaking news. It ain't the best podcast available. But anyway, this is Andrew Siciliano, who's now the Browns radio play-by-play man, interviewing Myles Garrett, and the topic of conversation came up. Hey, Myles, you're back. What about any assurances you got with what the Browns are going to do in this offseason to address the hole, the gaping hole, at the quarterback position?
In all seriousness, do you know who the quarterback's going to be? I mean, do you have an idea?
After conversations, I do have an idea.
Do you like the idea?
I like it enough to be here smiling in front of you because I think we have a good chance of that happening and making the most out of it.
Can you tell us who it is, Myles?
You know I can't do that.
Let me tell you, I actually really enjoyed my conversation with Myles Garrett at the Super Bowl. But anything he now says, this is what I hear. Boop, 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 bleep. That's what I hear. How can I take this guy seriously? He's an all-time great player. He's a top two defensive player in the sport right now, and he may be one, right? That's always a healthy debate between TJ Watt and Myles Garrett. He's an unbelievable talent. But when you sit there on Radio Row and you do this tour demanding a trade and you're saying it's not about the money, you want to go to a winning destination, and then a bag gets thrown your way, and it was a bag and then some. $120-something million guaranteed, $40 million a year for about like 2-3 weeks, not even, I think a week. He was the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the NFL. Jamar Chase has now usurped him. So you had this bag thrown your way, and all this, what I thought was genuine talk, that you want to go play for a winner, it's not about the money, that goes right out the window. And once again, fine. Right, I'm never going to sit here. I would have preferred Myles Garrett to go somewhere else, but he's the one, I know he's delivering the hits, but he's the one that's putting his body on the line in a lethal game. So if he never wants to win, and if he just wants to go get the biggest bag of cash, I'm not going to crush him for that. But Myles Garrett sitting there saying he knows what the Browns are going to do. Well, the only way that you know what the Browns are going to do is if Andrew Berry told you, hey, with the second overall pick, we're taking a quarterback, and then you probably infer, okay, Cam Ward's going one, so we'll take Shedeur Sanders too. You know, outside of that, how would you know what's going to happen? You had Russell Wilson in the building. No contract was done. Why? Because Russell Wilson's waiting. Is there a trade brewing on the horizon for Kirk Cousins, who Kevin Stefanski knows very well back to their days in Minnesota? You know, like, what's going to be? I don't think Jameis Winston is coming on back. So don't sell me, Myles Garrett, that, yeah, you know who's going to be the quarterback, and that's the reason why you signed. That's why you re-signed, and that's why you stayed. You may know who the quarterback's going to be, or you may not, But even if you do, it had no reason in why you elect to take that cash. You took that cash because it was a ridiculous amount of money and you deserve it. But as I sit here today, 15 past the hour, on a March 18th in the year of 2025, Cleveland take a quarterback. Cleveland take Shedeur Sanders. I think Cam Ward's going one. But Cleveland needs hope. And I know Cleveland fans will say, oh, but Shedeur may not be a generational talent. Oh, you can't risk taking a quarterback that early. You're Cleveland. You guys have taken 9,000 quarterbacks in like the last 15 minutes. So you could roll the dice here and you could risk using the second overall pick on another quarterback. And if it doesn't work out, guess what? You're in the same spot that you've been in for a long time. For a long time. We see that photo all the time of the jersey. They're running out of room. Hey, you can't even fit it on the screen. You got a projector. You can't even fit it on it. So just take a quarterback here. Because the Browns need some hope. Deshaun Watson was a disaster. He'll never play for the Browns again. There's no name on the free agent market that's going to get the fan base excited. Your fan base is tortured. Your fan base is abused. They could take the pain and suffering if it doesn't work out because it never works out. So in this case, if you're Cleveland, if I'm Andrew Berry, if I'm Kevin Stefanski, and I see that Cam Ward goes one, I'm taking Shedeur Sanders too. You got nothing to lose. And even though I think Shedeur is just going to be a good quarterback in this league, you know what? If you're Cleveland, you would take just a good quarterback in this league. Or at least you should. You need some hope. Because in this league, you either have the quarterback or you don't. And I get it. I'm someone that believes that Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are the two best players in this draft. But we've seen Cleveland have a lot of great players that aren't quarterbacks. We've seen Joe Thomas. We've seen Myles Garrett. What did you win? You can't win in this league if you don't have a quarterback. So roll the dice one more time. Take the risk and draft Shedeur Sanders at two. That's what I think the Cleveland Browns should do. Now, I did read before the show that season ticket holders were informed on draft night, they're going to do a free concert for season ticket members. They're going to have Journey there. You know, don't stop believing. I'm not going to sing anymore because I think all of our listeners just tuned out. But anyway, you know, I sometimes think I'm a better singer in my head. And then when I actually sing out loud, I'm like, yikes. And you just hear the nails on the chalkboard. And if we start to fade to black here in this segment, no, I didn't get whacked like Tony Soprano may have. But anyway, they're doing a concert for season ticket members the night of the draft. So, like, how are you going to have Journey playing, Don't Stop Believing, and then you maybe trade out of the pick or you take an offense alignment? Like, if you want people believing, no offense to Abdul Carter, I think he's the best player in the draft. No offense to Travis Hunter, who's the second best player in the draft, in my opinion. Those guys are really damn good. Those guys, I think they're going to be studs in the NFL. But if you want to believe in the NFL, if you want to believe in your football team, you need a quarterback. So, like, Cleveland has to, in my opinion. They may not, but if I'm running their team, they have to take a quarterback. You're in the second overall pick in the draft. I know people are going to say, well, they could be bad again this year, and maybe next year they could go get their quarterback. You don't know what the QB market's going to be. We've seen that. Carson Beck was supposed to be the number one overall pick for this upcoming draft this time last year. So that changes very easily. I know people say, oh, maybe a tank for Arch Manning. Well, if the Manning family once had Eli avoid San Diego to get to the Giants, why wouldn't they say, hey, Arch, avoid Cleveland to get to somewhere else? So you can't even tell me who they would draft next year. Shedeur is good. I think the Browns should take Shedeur Sanders, and if they don't, yes, they still may get a great player. As I said, I think Abdul Carter and I think Travis Hunter are the two best players in this draft, but you don't have a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, you could have a great roster, like we've seen the Browns have a very good roster the last few years, but if you don't hit on the quarterback, that good roster goes absolutely to waste, and it means nothing. What should the Browns do?
What's so good about Cleveland?
Oh, why do you have to do that? I like Cleveland. I love Cleveland. We got Ken Carmen. We got Anthony Lima. We got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, I'm a big fan of Cleveland, Ohio. And the fans, too. And you know what? I saw renderings for that new stadium. I have to apologize to Kenny. I told Ken Carman he's a, you know, a fake big guy when he was saying, oh, they need to put a dome on that place. The renderings for that new stadium, you know what? Looks pretty damn good. Looks pretty damn good to me. Anyway, what should the Browns do with the number 2 overall pick? 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, 5 coaches in the NCAA tournament that have the most pressure on them to win. I'll give you those 5 coaches. Next!
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
All righty, welcome back in. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll give you my 5 college basketball coaches under the most pressure to win in the NCAA tournament this year. But first, let's go out to the guest line, or the phone lines, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476, our new phone numbers. We did open up the show talking about the Cleveland Browns. I said they should draft Shedeur Sanders with the 2nd overall pick, assuming that Cam Ward is going to be the number 1 overall pick. Let's go to Connor in Ohio. He's first up on the Zach Gelb Show. Connor, what's shaking?
Hey, Zach, appreciate you taking my call. How are you?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
So I completely agree with you. I say the Browns should definitely take Shedeur in the draft. I feel like he's their best option. Maybe he'll definitely be a package coming, especially a package with Deion. Maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't be, but I think in the long run it'll work out. You know, I don't think Jameis will probably be with him much longer. He's kind of flirting with the Giants right now, so we'll have to see how that works out. But I just think they should take Shedeur, and that's probably the best option for them. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, Connor, I appreciate it. And you get into the Coach Prime element of it, right? And that new contract with Colorado has not happened yet. So I look at, and I don't think that's a Colorado decision. I think that's a Coach Prime decision. But when you get to Coach Prime, I said this from the jump. I thought everyone overlooked this and misjudged this and viewed it the wrong way, where they were like, oh, wherever Deion's going to go right away, Shedeur is going to go right away, Deion's going to go there. Or maybe Deion was going to leave this past offseason, and then that team would automatically be able to force Shedeur Sanders to go there. I've always said this, wherever Shedeur goes, the Deion conversation, the Coach Prime conversation, is not going to fade away. But I never thought that right away in his first season that Coach Prime was going to be with Shedeur wherever he goes in the NFL. But the moment that team struggles, which in all likelihood, if you're picking in the top 5 of the draft, then right, you go in the top 5, top 10 of the draft, you're a bad football team. And if you don't turn it around right away, or if that coach is on the hot seat, which most teams are, unless if they're just totally starting over with the new head football coach and had the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, whatever overall pick, you usually are going to have that coach on the hot seat. So, like, if you see Shedeur get drafted by the Browns, Kevin Stefanski, who I think is a good coach, and a 2-time Coach of the Year award winner in Cleveland, but it doesn't mean that there won't be that push if, let's say, year 1, Shedeur plays, you know, he's fine, but the coaching situation isn't ideal, or maybe it's ran its course. And let's say Cleveland goes 4 or 5 wins and they're back in the top 5 of the draft. Yeah, that conversation's going to be there about Coach Prime maybe going to the NFL. And notice Coach Prime a year ago was like, NFL not for me coaching. But then towards the end of last season, he said he would only go there if both of his sons are on the same NFL team. Which, wherever Shedeur goes, it won't be tough for Shiloh to follow him, because not a lot of people think Shiloh Sanders is going to be this really good, highly coveted NFL player. So I've always said that I believe Coach Prime has a potential to go to the NFL, not immediately where Shedeur goes, but a year afterwards, because he's going to have to be a candidate if that job opens up wherever Shedeur does go. So good call right there, right out of the gate. Once again, our new number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. I wonder how long it's going to take me to memorize a new number. The last number was so easy to remember, 855-212-4227, right? But now I'm sitting here and taking behind the scenes. They have 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces of paper with the number 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. All righty. Five college basketball coaches with the most pressure on them entering this NCAA tournament. In at number five, I'm going to go with Rick Barnes. You don't know how many opportunities that you're going to get in the NCAA tournament more, especially when you're an older coach like Rick Barnes. And he does not look like, right, an old coach whatsoever, but he is 70 years old. So you don't know how much longer, even though he looks pretty young, and he's like kind of like been Pete Carroll, he's aged very well. But this has been someone that, yes, I know that he was in a Final Four back in 2003 when you look back with Texas. But since going to Tennessee, they've had a lot of good teams, but they haven't been able to get to the Final Four, you know, and you don't know how many more runs you have at this. And the road for Tennessee, I think what you saw in that SEC championship game is going to be what happens to kind of Tennessee in the NCAA tournament. I think they do have an expiration date. I do think that they have an apex, and I don't believe it's going to win the championship this year. But the SEC, we know, is the best conference this year in college basketball. They put 14 teams in. And you look at that Midwest region, you have Houston, Gonzaga, Georgia, Clemson, McNeese, Purdue, High Point, Illinois, Kentucky. You got Troy, UCLA, Utah State, Tennessee. It is not murderer's row there. Like I said it yesterday, Houston and Duke to me are the two schools that I think have the easiest path to get to the Final Four. So even though you lose Dalton Connect, you still got a very good team. You're still number two seed. There is pressure on Rick Barnes, in my opinion, entering this NCAA tournament. Now in at number four, I put Tommy Lloyd. Tommy Lloyd has won a lot of games at Arizona, but he has not got the most out of his teams in the NCAA tournament. Back in 2021, or which is the 2022 NCAA tournament, they were a one seed. They lost in the Sweet 16 to Houston. I know Kelvin Sampson's done a great job, but you're a one seed. You're expected to go further than the Sweet 16. Then in 2023, they were a two seed. They lost to Princeton and Mitch Henderson. And then last year, they were a two seed. They lost in the Sweet 16, where they did fall to Clemson in the Sweet 16. So I look at Tommy Lloyd, there's that narrative being built, right? Phenomenal coach in the regular season, but come postseason time, he doesn't get the job done. So I look at Arizona, not that I think they're this great team this year, but they are a four seed. And once again, I said the two easiest roads to get to the Final Four are Duke and Houston. They're in Duke's bracket and Duke's region. And they go up against Akron, which is a 13 seed. And if they win that, then they get the winner of Oregon and Liberty. Liberty, 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 Liberty. So I do think there is some pressure on Tommy Lloyd. Then at number three, I like this guy a lot. He's had a tremendous redemption story. He took Auburn to the Final Four. We have seen Bruce Pearl at Auburn win two conference tournament championships. But you're the number one overall seed of the tournament. I know that you've lost three out of your last four games. You got Jani Broome, who I think will be the runner-up for the player of the year. I do think it's going to be Cooper Flagg, but if not him, then it's going to be Jani Broome. And this, to me, if not now, when with Auburn? And Bruce Pearl is, right, energetic. They'll be able to continue to get great players there, as we've seen this be sustained at Auburn. But if not now, when for Bruce Pearl? And it's weird to say that the number one overall seed is getting slept on, right? But so many people are doubting Auburn and saying, oh, Auburn's going to lose because of the way that they ended that season. In at number two, I think there's pressure on Hubert Davis. And people are going to be like, Zach, no one thinks North Carolina belongs in this NCAA tournament besides Bubba Cunningham and Ack, right? Well, we've seen this before where people say a team doesn't belong and then they go on a run. And UNC tonight plays San Diego State, so we'll see what happens. I think that there's pressure on Hubert Davis to at least win this game tonight, where you could shut some people up. Well, then we'll see what happens in your true first-round game. But Hubert Davis in a spot where in year one, they went to the championship game and they lost. You know, we've seen him miss the NCAA tournament at UNC. Roy Williams came on this show, the great Roy Williams. And I know he basically picked Hubert Davis, right? That was his choice. And he gave him a major vote of confidence. But the UNC fan, I'm not saying it's the majority because I don't know how to definitely break that down. But there is a large contingent of Tar Heel fans that are already tired of Hubert Davis. So I do think there's pressure, even though everyone's sitting here saying, UNC shouldn't be it. Oh, it's a travesty. Oh, it's a crime. Oh, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. Hubert Davis, this is how it goes. He wins tonight. He shuts some people up. I'm not saying that the North Carolina fan in terms of him not being brought back. I think he's going to be brought back regardless. But there's still work to do at UNC. But you shut the national talking heads up. Now you lose this game tonight. Everyone's going to be sitting there, and I know what the take's going to be tomorrow. See? They didn't belong. We were proven to be right, and so on and so on. But in a number one, I think some people could maybe look at this as maybe a funky answer. But he's in no danger of getting fired. Let me be clear. We define pressure in different ways, and he's done a very good job at Duke. But you're the coach at Duke, right? You're not the coach of South Harmon Institute of Technology. You are expected to get to the Final Four. You are expected to win a national championship. I know this is his third year, first year round of 32, last year Elite Eight. Last year I thought was a good year for Duke. But this is a year where Duke, to me, is the best team in the country. And the last month, and really the last week and a half nationally, people have jumped in on Florida. Before that, it was Auburn. So kind of Auburn and Florida swap places. If you would have asked me 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, what's the championship game without knowing the matchups, I would say the two best teams that I saw so far in the country were Duke and Auburn. Now I think they're Duke and Florida. But even with the Cooper Flagg injury, and it looks like they've survived that, and he's going to be coming on back. I don't know how much he's going to play in the first round matchup, if at anything at all. But he's going to make a return to the tournament at some point, and it's not as major of an injury as we thought it was when he got hurt in the ACC tournament. But even without Cooper Flagg, they were able to go on that run and still win the ACC. So I think there's pressure on John Shire entering this tournament. You know, you got to get to a Final Four. To me, you have the easiest road to get to the Final Four. And you also got to find a way to win the national championship game, or at least be in the national championship game this year, because the standards of the school that you're at are different all around the country. And at Duke, they don't praise you, oh, you were a number one seed. Because of the Krzyzewski standard, you got to go be the last team standing and have one shining moment. And I don't think anyone's going to be calling for John Shire to get, you know, fired if they don't have that happen. But there will be questions until he wins a national championship if he'll be able to do so as a head coach. So those are the five coaches to me under the most pressure in the NCAA tournament. And you could define pressure however you want it. That's why it's always a fun topic of conversation for me. It's Rick Barnes, Tommy Lloyd, Bruce Pearl, Hubert Davis, and John Shire. All righty, we'll take a timeout. We'll come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network with a little news brief. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start things off on the news brief. But before we do that, let me first tell you the Defense Play of the Week is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. A member of the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. The Defense Play of the Week is Russell Westbrook. After leading the Nuggets on Monday night without Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray to a win over the Red Hot Warriors by getting three steals and two blocks along with his 203rd triple-double in his illustrious career. Let's start it off, though, on the gridiron. Here is Cam Ward meeting with the New Orleans Saints.
It was a great meeting, especially, you know, if you get a chance to go play with a Super Bowl coach like Coach Moore. He knows how to dial up the playbook. You know, the Saints, they were one of my favorite teams growing up when I was little. I love watching Drew Brees and Colson out there. So, you know, it'll be a dream of mine to play for them, you know, if I get a chance someday. But that's not really my main focus right now.
At first, I'm like, Super Bowl winning Coach Moore? I'm like, who the heck is he talking about? I'm like, oh, Kellen Moore. Weird to me when we refer to his coordinators as Super Bowl winning coaches when now you're a head coach. But I get the point and what he did on the offensive side of the ball for the Philadelphia Eagles this past year. Here's the problem, Cam Ward. You're going to be a Saints fan growing up. You can love the meeting you have with the Saints. If the Saints ain't moving up to one, in all likelihood, they're not going to have a chance to go draft you because they have the 9th overall pick and you will be way gone. in the draft before the Saints end up picking at number 9. Here's Hubert Davis and all the criticism that UNC has got in the last 2 days.
I didn't listen to bracketology. I didn't listen after our name was selected on CBS. I didn't listen to the telecast. I haven't listened to anybody's comments in regards to selection, seedings. And so I know that we're really excited to be a part of this.
Yeah, I think you know what was said about you. And I think Bubba Cunningham, Fanta made a great point. Since he showed up to the TV interview with the co-chair with him or the assistant chair with him, that was kind of like, we know what's going to get asked. We know that this wasn't right, but we're still going to put somebody else out there because Bubba couldn't really say much. And that's UNC AD. If you're UNC, though, who gives a rat's ass what people are saying? Go shut everybody up and go win tonight. And we'll see if they could do that. Here is Chris Beard, the head coach at Ole Miss. Obviously, a lot of people remember him from Texas, but also when he got to the Final Four of the championship game at Texas Tech, and some pundits calling Ole Miss fraudulent.
Fraud? That's what they said. So, I think we got a good team. You know, we just played in what people are calling the best conference in the history of college basketball today as the tournament starts. I think a lot of things could be said about our team, both good and bad. But fraud would not be a word that I would think about when I think about this year's Ole Miss team.
His press conferences the last week have been electric. Some reporter was talking to him. I forget exactly what it was about, but he basically goes, you know my resume? He goes, you know where I've been? You know what I've done? And I found Chris Beard to be very entertaining the last week when talking to the media. Here's Pat Kelsey, the head basketball coach at Louisville. He was on Kentucky Sports Radio. And I noticed this right when the selection committee said right away that Louisville was an 8 seed. You look at Pat Kelsey and he was shocked. So here's Pat Kelsey talking about Louisville only getting an 8 seed.
Man, so I'll be completely honest with you. Like watching the selection show, it was like when that popped up, you know, it hurt a little bit. You know, you felt slighted a little bit. You know, in my opinion, we should be playing a 12 or 11 seed. Every metric under the sun that you look at and all the experts, net 23, which would put us in, you know, a possible 5 seed range. KenPom 23. I mean, heck, fellas, you're a Kentucky fan. Since that December 14th game, that's 3 months ago. Yeah. 3 months. We've lost 2 games. We went 18-2 in the ACC. We went to the conference championship game and lost to the number one team in the country. So puts a little fire in your belly and gives you just a little added little chip on your shoulder.
I love Pat Kelsey. I do. He is a phenomenal coach. Last year I was saying Dusty May and Pat Kelsey, whoever hires them, going to get a great coach. That Louisville Creighton game, though, is going to be fun. I think that's the 8-9 game. And really, the opening round of the tournament, the game that I'm most excited about. But I could just tell his emotions right away when he got the message and he saw what they were playing and the seed they were. He looked absolutely shocked. So I appreciate his honesty there. Let's go to Kendrick Perkins on the ESPN. He said the Suns have quit on Mike Budenholzer.
A disaster. A disaster. A team that has quit on their coach. And if I'm Mike Budenholzer, to be honest, It's no more rankings in the locker room, meaning it's no more franchise guys. I'm playing the guys that are going to compete for me. And if that means Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal not getting the minutes, then damn it, so be it. At this point, he has nothing to lose. Okay, but when I look at the Phoenix Suns, in my 14 years of playing, I have never been part of an organization or a team that has quit on their coach. This is an embarrassment. Not only to the Phoenix organization, but to the rest of the NBA, because you have so many guys that are going to be Hall of Famers on that team.
Remember last week? I think it was last week when KD had a little kerfuffle with Mike Budenholzer on the sideline, and they ended up winning the game, and KD tried to like chastise us all and talk down to us all about their relationship. Oh, you don't really know what it's like. It's a good one, and you only just see one thing on the sideline. And I kind of even liked his answer, but you got to take everything Kevin Durant says with a grain of salt. Well, you just had Big Perk say what he said, and then Sam Amico, who's a longtime NBA reporter for Wire Hoops, he had the other day that the Phoenix Suns could fire Mike Budenholzer in the offseason to appease Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And I think that would be a mistake by Phoenix. Now, you're trying to keep those players, but it seems like Kevin Durant already wants out. And I don't think there's anything you're going to be able to do to keep Kevin Durant in Phoenix at this rate. Here is Keon Coleman on Complex Sports. He details his first dinner with Josh Allen.
So the first time he invited me to dinner at this place, I don't even know what this was, the one to cook. It looked like we was eating onions, fish, and bread. I was like, this is like the stuff Jesus fed the people in the little children book. You know, like the little children books they give you? Like, that's what that looked like. I said, man, what is this, bro?
I could listen to Keon Coleman talk all day. And also, Josh Allen, you know, with the salary you got, it seems like you got to up the food game. Maybe your private chef got to do a little bit of a better job. I got a chance to interview one of the most famous actors on the planet over the weekend, David Harbour, who you know him from Stranger Things. He has a new film coming on out called The Working Man, which comes out on March 28th, so 10 days from now. And it's funny because David Harbour, he's really blown up the last year because of the last 10 years, excuse me, because of Stranger Things. So in his last decade, this like the 40s of his life, that's where he's really blown up as an actor. Well, when talking to him, we discussed how he didn't like the name of the show Stranger Things at first. This is David Harbour.
It's funny to me, everyone knows you for Stranger Things, and you didn't like the title of it. Why was that?
I hated it. It was called Montauk originally. It was supposed to be like set in Montauk, and I love that title. I just think that title is so strong when you turn on the TV, it's like Montauk comes at you. And then it was like Stranger Things. There was something about it that felt like, well, Stranger Things have happened. I don't know, it just felt like cheesy or something. It felt like silly. And then of course it became like, yeah, when I'm associated, people run down the street yelling Stranger Things at me. So.
It just shows you sometimes in life, you just can't predict things. Stranger Things, yikes, that's never gonna work. And that's what made your career. And it's one of the biggest shows on the planet. It made him one of the biggest actors on the planet. Once again, you can check out A Working Man on March 28th. And that will do it for a news brief on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. When we come on back, we got to get to hour number two of our radio program. We will kick things off in about 5 minutes from now with the former Georgia quarterback. Now does a great job on the ESPN as a college football analyst, and that is Aaron Murray. We'll continue to push through our prospect profiles, and today we will look at all the Georgia players that are expected to hear their names called in the first round of the NFL draft. So we'll talk some Georgia football. We will talk some NFL prospects when we come on back in 5 minutes right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network with Aaron Murray. Also still to come in hour number two of our radio program, I will come up with my latest percentages for Aaron Rodgers and his next destination. We'll do a little Aaron Rodgers pie chart. And then in about 40 to 50 minutes from now, we'll get into this Michigan baseball celebration and also the disaster that now is the NIT. Take a break. Come on back. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!